Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad you're here today. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, by the way, coming up this weekend on Friday night, they have the Mama Tried Flat Out Friday. They got a big event. If you're a motorcycle enthusiast, it's going on down at the Bradley Center. Big one coming up this week. As a matter of fact, one of the riders is going to be in here in studio tomorrow, all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. And we've got some stuff brewing regarding the motorcycle ride that we do every year for the Fisher House and for veterans' families, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but well beyond the borders, because they come from all over. So stay tuned for all of that. And it's all brought to you by our great friends over at Bud Light. They've been with us for a long, long time. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Jerry Palm, the bracketologist for CBS Sports, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jerry, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
We're good. This is kind of the busy Christmas time, I guess, for you when you talk about bracketology. So right now, going to the Big Ten, because we know the Badgers, they're not going anywhere. We understand that. But what right now, how many teams out of the Big Ten are we looking at?
Probably four. Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue, who've collectively dominated the league all season long. And then Michigan looks kind of like a middle of the bracket team, and there really isn't a great chance for anyone else short of winning the conference tournament. Nebraska and Penn State have got, at best, long shot at-large hopes.
Some of the teams that we were talking about, the Big East earlier, obviously Marquette being in the Big East, and they were kind of on the outside looking in. They've had some tough losses, sub-500 record in conference. Is there anything short of winning the tournament that the Golden Eagles could do to get themselves into the tournament?
Well, sub-500 record in conference isn't a thing. They don't look at your conference record or your conference performance separate from anything else. So it's all just part of who you are. They're going to have to, well, first of all, they've got the next three games are against teams that are not tournament teams. They cannot afford to lose those. They have to win all three. And then you've got Creighton at home. If you don't win that game, then you certainly need to do something in the conference tournament against one of the better teams in this league, of which there are many. So for Marquette, it's really just a matter, you know, they've already got questionable losses, home losses, Providence, Butler, Georgia. I mean, Providence and Butler are good teams. Georgia's not that bad, but you need to take care of business against the bottom of this league and then start to set your sights on the teams that can help build your resume.
Some of these conferences that are out there that are pretty heavy, I was looking the other night, I was reading a little bit about the Big 12 and what Kansas has done, and obviously Texas Tech and Huggins over West Virginia and such. How deep are they? How deep is that Big 12 conference?
Fantastic. I mean, there isn't a bad team in that league. They can't all make the tournament just because they beat each other up at some point. But Iowa State, the last place team, has got some big wins in this league. So it's a fantastic league this year. The best league top to bottom. The Big East to me it's like 1 and 1A. I think the bottom of the Big 12 is better than the bottom of the Big East, but I think the top of both of these leagues is tremendous.
Is there a mid-major that could end up possibly with two? We always talk about, well, they have to win their conference tournament. Is there a mid-major out there that is just that strong that you're going to get two teams in?
You want to define mid-major for me? I would, you know, I mean, the West Coast is, yeah, is Gonzaga and St. Mary's, right?
Sure.
So, but, you know, like two at-large level teams? No. But you might see, like, I don't use the term mid-major, period. I just don't. You're either major or you're not. And I've got seven major conferences. I throw the American out there this year based on how they performed, because they're probably as good as the Pac-12 and maybe even the Big Ten, at least in some ways. But outside of that, I think if Rhode Island or Nevada were to stumble in their conference tournaments, those are at-large teams. That's the A-10 in the Mountain West. Gonzaga and St. Mary's from the West Coast look pretty good. I think after that, you start to get into some pretty sketchy territory, maybe Middle Tennessee, maybe New Mexico State, but probably not New Mexico State. Middle Tennessee's chances are better.
Got a guy that just tweeted me who's listening to us down in Kentucky. He says, what has happened to Calipari and company? He says he gets all the one and dones, and he still can't produce another national title. Now, that's the expectation from a Kentucky fan. I get that.
Yeah.
But
right.
What is it with Kentucky right now?
Well, Kentucky is the youngest team in Division I. Out of 351 teams, Kentucky's the youngest. I think their top seven scorers are freshmen. I mean, there just isn't a veteran on this team that is in a leadership role who can even lead by example. You know, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to approach going through the rigors of conference play. And the conference is better this year, too. You just got a bunch of young guys trying to figure it out. And I think it's something, you know, usually, I mean, you talk about all these one and dones, but there's usually a veteran guy or two on that team that's mixed in. And this year, there just isn't. And I think that's Kentucky's biggest problem, is that they are almost 100% reliant on freshmen.
How many teams are they going to get out of the SEC? Seven? Eight?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's been a great year. I mean, they may dominate the middle of the bracket. Auburn and Tennessee look like the teams that have the best shot at being, you know, say top 25 teams, which is, you know, the 1-6 seeds basically. After that, you know, it's like a 10 car pileup behind those two teams, and they can't even sort themselves out. And what's weird is that you've got, you know, teams that can win on the road and lose at home, like Florida. Florida's got like four home losses in conference, but you know, they've won on the road. So it's just, there's a lot of weird resumes in this league. You know, it's going to be fun, I guess, for the committee to try and sort those out.
Where is college basketball right now with this investigation kind of looming on the horizon?
Well, I mean, it just kind of hangs over it. You don't really know what's coming next. You just know they're not done. And, in fact, there was a report last week, I think, was at Yahoo Sports, talking about how, you know, there could be as many as three dozen programs under investigation, and many of which are included among that top 16 the committee revealed a little over a week ago. And, you know, that's not surprising. You know, once they arrested some people, you're going to start talking. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to get exposed, and it will happen on the FBI schedule. When they have the information ready, they'll present it. When they have enough to indict or arrest someone, they'll do it. But it's not really giving any consideration to college basketball schedule. The FBI operates on their own terms.
That's the reason I ask, is because obviously one of the coaches is being talked about heavily is Bruce Pearl yet again,
right,
sitting down there,
yeah,
in Auburn right now, and he's refused to talk. And I know that it's made some people down there rather nervous about all of this. And I thought when I read the Yahoo article that they said as many as 15, 16 teams that are going to make the tournament could end up vacating wins. I mean, I understand where this is at, so to speak, but if this is true, this is unbelievable. This is something like we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, I would like to say, well, certainly it's like something we haven't seen in a long time in terms of, you know, FBI involvement, that's for sure. Usually they get involved in things like point shaving scandals. We haven't had one of those in quite some time. But, I don't know. I guess I'm jaded enough to say I'm not surprised at the stuff that's being revealed. And I think that certainly some programs are more exposed than others. I remember, you know, back in October, I think it was, when all of this started happening, wondering if Bruce Pearl would survive November. And not only did he survive, but without the two kids that were recruited, you know, that were subject to the FBI investigation and its assistant coach getting arrested, and him looking like he would lose his job, his team is one of the top 10 teams in the country. And I would guess that's one of the more surprising things in college basketball this year.
I don't think, and by the way, we're talking with Jerry Palm, the bracketologist for CBS Sports. I don't think there's any doubt Bruce Pearl can coach. I think that there's always been that muddied line as to where the things begin, yep, and things end. I mean, that's what it comes with. I mean, for a long time, Calipari had that reputation coming out of, you know, the A-10 and coming out of Memphis and such. And,
right,
you know, but as long as you're winning, man, it doesn't matter.
Well,
People are going to cheer for you.
Yeah, and he's had, you know, both of those programs after he left suffered sanctions for things that happened while he was there. That hasn't happened at Kentucky yet. Well, Bruce Pearl, and of course, Pearl gets greater scrutiny because he was a whistleblower at one point. So now, you know, the when the focus is on his program, he gets even greater scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, going back to the Badgers, if the Badgers were to win out here, they win out the rest of the season, they win Northwestern, they beat Michigan State, short of winning the Big Ten tournament, where would that put them in your mind?
In terms of being an NCAA tournament
team? NCAA or NIT?
Well, Wisconsin is, they're like 127 in the RPI. I mean, they'd have to win, just to finish 500, they have to win five games in a row to finish above 500. They're not getting in the tournament at any tournament unless there are 500 teams. Mm-hmm. So, I guess if they won four in a row and then lost, they could finish 17-17. That's not getting them in the NIT. So if their postseason hopes, if they can get to 500, probably, or, you know, CBI, CIT, something like that.
Okay.
If they were to choose to do it.
Hey, real quick, before I let you go, there's a lot of talk about changing the one-and-done rule. We're going to hear from Adam Silver coming up next, but give me your thoughts on all the discussion regarding this whole one-and-done thing.
Well, I mean, as a college basketball fan, it's nice to have these players in college basketball. I've always sort of favored kind of the baseball draft model if you're going to restrict players, where you either go out of high school or you wait 2 years. But I also consider restricting people's ability to, you know, go out and make a living for themselves at their chosen trade to be kind of un-American. And I realize this is collectively bargained, so it's not illegal, but it bothers me that people, you know, who are good at what they do can't go out and earn a living at it because of some arbitrary restriction.
Great stuff, Jerry. As always, we certainly appreciate it, okay?
All right, thanks.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Bracketologist for CBS Sports. That's where you can read his stuff, cbssports.com. That is Jerry Palm breaking down some college hoops. And the likelihood of the Badgers getting into any tournament is practically nil in his eyes. When we come back, we're going to talk about that college one-and-done rule, as Adam Silver has addressed that. We'll get into that discussion coming up here shortly. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumail Medical. And, guys, you came out of the Valentine's weekend. You're getting ready for summer. How is the life? How's the love life? If it's good, wonderful. You domain. If it's not, you may want to call them. 414-455-4451. They have a 98% success rate at treating guys with ED, a 98% success rate, by the way. That's without the pharmaceutical side effects. And in addition to that, they have the low T treatments to give you more energy, better mental clarity. You can kind of have a stabilized mood, that type of thing. All you got to do is call them, 414-455-4451. And if you're kind of fretting over the summer and you're thinking to yourself, man, it's going to start getting warmer and I'm going back to T-shirts and I can't wear those big oversized sweatshirts and everything over more, I'm going to start showing the gut again. Start the All-in-One Weight Loss Program. It is simple. It's not a big, huge workout program or anything like that. As a matter of fact, they discourage it a little bit because you got to stay close to the eating process and to what it is they do. And it's 30 days. Come on, 30 days. You're worth 30 days, right? Call them, 414-455-4451. That's the Neumail Medical Center, 414-455-4451. We'll talk about the one-and-done rule in college hoops. Coming up next. Michael Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it, as always. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today, no matter where it is you are in the state or well beyond the borders. This portion of the program being brought to you by our great friends over at Quick Trip. Quick Trip now has rewards. Did you know that? Stop into your local Quick Trip, get yourself one of the rewards cards, go online, fill it out, and you are in. It's that simple. Check out Quick Trip. Stop into any participating Quick Trip. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. That's quicktrip.com. Adam Silver gets into the one-and-done stuff because, as we had just heard, it is somewhat of a conflicting topic when it comes to whether or not players should be able to just come into college for 1 year, basically a few semesters, and then get the hell out. He discusses.
We're conflicted, be honest. We're outside of our cycle of collective bargaining right now, which is when we generally address an issue like that. But Michelle Roberts and I have also agreed that there's no reason we shouldn't at least be discussing it right now.
They should be discussing it as to whether or not they want to do all of this is taking the one and done, so to speak. And it really does only affect a very minimal few. It's not as if it's affecting many, so to speak, because there's only so many players. Let's be honest. There's only so many players that can possibly go early. You know what I mean? 855-830-8648. If you think I'm wrong on this, it only affects a few players, if you want to give us a shout. Adam Silver continues the discussion, and he said here he talks to the Players Association about the one-and-done situation.
We've had some meetings with the Players Association where we've shared data on success rates of young players coming into the league. We've talked a lot about youth development in terms of whether we should be getting involved in some of these young players even earlier than when they come into college.
And in addition to that, you talk about having younger guys in the league. It does create some problems as well.
We think we have a better draft when we've had an opportunity to see these young players play at an elite level before they come into the NBA. On the other hand, I think the question for the league is, in terms of their ultimate success, are we better off intersecting with them a little bit younger? Are we better off bringing them into the league when they're 18, using our G League as it was designed to be as a development league, and getting them minutes on the court there?
I think it would be a great thing if they're going to develop these guys, put them in the G League. If you're going to do this, put them in the G League. Some players, very few, can actually come in and perform at the age of 18.
There's also recognition that for some of these elite players, there's no question that they can perform in the NBA at 18 years old.
Many others who do it, some people say, well, this kid can or cannot play. And how many times have we seen a guy that's one of the top players in the country? He's going to be a one and done. He goes and he doesn't find any time in the NBA. And they do it. Why? Money. I mean, if you weren't guaranteed the money, you wouldn't be doing it, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's where one of the issues comes in, about how much you're going to pay him. And the money is what they want to grab, but it can also be one of the biggest deterrents to actually getting their game together and then getting more money down the road. It's what you want to grab up front versus what it is you're actually going to get to as far as your long-term living. He said, we're not rushing through the one-and-done conversation now.
We're not by any means rushing through this. I think this is a case where, actually, outside of the cycle of collective bargaining, we can spend more time on it with the Players Association, talking to individual players, talking to their executive board, and really trying to understand the pros and cons of potentially moving the age limit.
So there you go. That's some of the discussion that Adam Silver has had regarding the one-and-dones in college basketball. If you can do it, go for it. You know, the problem is there's only so many people that can actually do it. And that's where the issue becomes paramount for not only collegiate sports and for some of the lives of these guys, but for the NBA. I mean, the NBA is already considered somewhat of a watered-down league. You're just finally starting to get some stars together. And the problem is they're putting all the stars on one team and you're creating super teams. And it's to some fans, it's a turnoff. To others fans, it's, you know, what team can knock down the mighty Giants? It's the David and Goliath theory. So, you know, I don't know what the one-and-dones have done to college basketball. I do know that when they come in, there was a statistic the other day. God, I just saw this. There was out of 17 first-round top draft choices, out of 17 that have over the last, God, I wish I saw this statistic and read it for myself. It was like over the last 25 years or something to that effect, these top draft choices that have been chosen, only two have won championships for their team that picked them. Only two. And LeBron had to leave and then come back and do it. He left, went to Miami, and then came back. Because a lot of these guys, these teams that are tanking, these teams that are kind of throwing everything out the window to become one of the worst teams in the NBA to be able to grab a couple of these top draft choices, by the time they mature enough to really play good competitive NBA basketball, they move on. They haven't been able to fulfill the prodigy of taking your team to a championship. So they don't get that second mammoth contract. They don't get the max deal. People don't feel it's worth it. And they move on, and then they win somewhere else. And usually after they've been teamed up with two or three other big-name stars. It was mind-blowing for the teams that have done the tanking thing over the last 5, 10, 15 years that we've really, really discussed. It was mind-blowing to hear that many of these teams never, ever won a championship with the guy that they tanked for because it takes so long. Now you're talking about putting 18-year-olds into the NBA? Not in favor of that. Put them in the G League. Make it a developmental league. If they want to get paid, pay them minimal amount of money. Maybe that keeps them in college. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it gives them a little bit of security for their families. Because it's making something beats making nothing to many of these guys. And you're being looked at on a daily basis by NBA scouts and not college scouts. So maybe that's the direction you want to go. And I would never begrudge a player that's good enough to do it the necessity of staying in school. But you also have to then weigh the balance of I'm going semi-pro and passing up an education and the ability to graduate and the ability not to have debt when it comes to a graduation in the sheepskin. So then you begin to weigh that. And I think that becomes more of a fair option rather than just saying, hey, you're on the court immediately with LeBron, or you're on the court immediately with Steph, or you're on the court immediately with Giannis or Westbrook or any one of these guys. Because right now there's not a lot of in-between. And maybe if you open it up to the G League guys a little bit more, maybe that becomes a legitimate choice for a lot of these players.
The problem is, though, the G League, not every team in the NBA has a G League affiliate.
Correct.
Which is an issue.
I agree.
In order for this to truly work like it is with Major League Baseball, you have to have a G League team with every NBA team.
If you're going to start investing into younger players in that particular, expanse, you're going to be like the Bucks and say, we have to have it. Because we want to govern our guys. For a long time, the Bucks, who didn't have the Wisconsin Herd, would send their guys to a G League, but they didn't have control over that guy as to what they were learning, what they were doing, because it wasn't their affiliate. These G League teams would have to be then affiliated directly with the NBA teams that they're the feeder team for. 855-830-8648. We'll get to some more opinion on college hoops. Jim McElvain, color analyst for Marquette Golden Eagles and the radio network. He is going to join us. We'll talk more about this. We'll talk more about the scandal that is the NCAA and college basketball, and also talk more about Marquette basketball. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. As always, we certainly appreciate it. A lot of college hoops chatter today. Jerry Palm, always good. The bracketologist for CBS Sports joined us a little bit earlier. And I'm going to talk with Jim McElvain, color analyst for the Marquette Golden Eagles radio network, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. And they helped me out. They can help you out as well. If you have something orthopedically going on, shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, elbows, they got it going on. All you got to do is call them 855-MC-ORTHO. That's 855-MC-ORTHO. And maybe, just maybe, they can get you home in as little as a day. You heard me right. In as little as a day. That is 855-MC-ORTHO. Find out everything that is the Marshfield Clinic by simply going to marshfieldclinic.org. That's marshfieldclinic.org. Jim McElvain, color analyst for the Marquette Golden Eagles radio network, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Highline. Hi, Jim. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. So how big of a win had come from behind? Because I got to admit, I was watching that game Saturday night. I'm thinking, holy crap, this is ugly. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and they ended up winning that ball game. How big of a character win was that for that team at Creighton on Saturday?
I think it was massive. And this is really the time of the season where every coach in the country doesn't really talk to his team about, you need to win these games and you need to get this record or whatever. You know, guys like Jerry Palm focus in on that kind of stuff. All the coaches right now are saying this is a one-game season. You know, come out and do what you can with this game, because this game means a lot to our season. And that's pretty much the case all the way through February, whether you're fighting for a one seed or you're fighting for the bubble.
Some injuries, obviously, with the Golden Eagles right now. And looking forward, Howard doubtful for tomorrow night's game. How big of a blow is that in your mind?
Well, you know, he's a great player. And I think that surprised people more than Marquette coming back at Creighton, was that they did it without Marcus Howard. And we've watched Marquette teams do that before. They lose a key player, Jarrell McNeil goes down or something like that, and Mike Consuelo all of a sudden starts hitting three-pointers and beats a ranked Pitt team at home. So teams can rise up, and individual players on those teams can rise up and respond. But the question is how long it's sustainable. So hopefully Marcus Howard's injury, if it prevents him from playing, doesn't prevent him from playing more than one game, and they get him back quickly, because they certainly need him and benefit from having him on the floor.
How much is Greg Elliott, because now he's carrying kind of the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, you're coming in for a guy who's been averaging over 20 points a ball game. How much does Greg Elliott feel the pressure?
Well, you know, I just as the coaches don't focus on certain things at this point in the year, the freshmen, really, I don't feel like a freshman at this point in the season, because these guys all have 20, 25 games under their belts now, and they kind of know what's going on. So I think the pressure would be different if it was the beginning of the year and Greg Elliott had to step up. But I think he and Jamal Cain have both surprised a lot of people. I think people would be shocked to find out both of them are shooting better from three this season right now than Marcus Howard is as a percentage. So they've proven themselves as capable outside shooters. They give us a little bit more length than Marcus Howard does. They're just, you know, they're not obviously the scorer that he is and able to create off the dribble like Marcus does. So there's a little bit of give and take there.
Three wins in the last nine games. This team has been consistently inconsistent. What has been the bugaboo?
Well, if you had three guys on your team who are all capable of scoring 30 points on any given night, wouldn't you want them in the game as much as possible? And the answer is yes. The issue is you have two of them are shorter than 6 feet tall, which creates some problems defensively. And it's not because Andrew Rousey and Marcus Howard don't work hard. It's just because there's some mismatches size-wise that some teams have been able to exploit. And Marquette went to zone against Creighton, and they've done that in the past with not as much success. They had more success against Creighton, although I think the wild card with the Creighton game is, I mentioned to Coach Wojciechowski after the game, neither one of those teams really hangs their hat on their ability to out-rebound their opponents. Both of them on the season are getting out-rebounded by their opponents. But in a situation like that, if you can make a commitment to it and you can get your guys to buy in and crash the boards, as well as both teams shot, if you're shooting 50% from the floor, you get two chances every time down the court, you're going to score every time down the court. And if you can get stops at the other end because you're crashing the glass, then that can be a difference maker.
As you head towards the tournament, what does this team need to do, in your opinion, to get into the tournament?
In terms of wins, you know, they have four wins left, or four games left, all against teams they should beat and could beat and at different times have beaten. So that would certainly help. I've said for most of the season, I think as good as the Big East is top to bottom, and we're starting to see how really good it is with St. John's coming on strong at the end. I think a 500 win season in the Big East and no bad losses can probably get any team in the conference into the tournament, and we've seen that happen with the Big East in the past, so I think that's realistic, and that could mean Marquette could actually lose one more game here in the final stretch of four, but obviously they don't want to lose any.
Talking with Jim McElvain, color analyst for the Marquette Golden Eagles and the radio network. We were talking earlier about, you know, Greg Gard and the expectation with Wisconsin because of so many tournament appearances. What is the expectation right now at Marquette?
Well, you know, I think those are different situations because Coach Wojciechowski wasn't an assistant under Buzz Williams and wasn't in on the recruiting of a lot of the guys that were on the roster when he got there. So it's, you know, kind of an apples and oranges between those two, but I guess, you know, Bill Cory's looked at the situation when Mike Dean was coaching, and Mike thought, you know, getting to the tournament every once in a while should be, you know, acceptable, and deep runs in the NIT were fine, and that just wasn't the case. I think there's a long-term expectation that once a coach gets in and finds his footing, there's no reason Marquette doesn't have the resources and the support to put teams out there that can make the NCAA tournament every year and on certain years make some pretty deep runs.
I guess the question then becomes, when do you say, as a guy that's been through a system, and you've looked at it and you say, okay, now this guy's got his feet, is it 2 years, 3 years, or when he has all his guys, or when all his guys have come through and then he's got another year under his belt, at what point do you say, okay, I've seen this guy to know enough that he's either a really good coach and he's tournament bound consistently, or I've seen enough of a guy to say he's good but not good enough?
Well, I think each individual system is different in each situation. And I know there's some other coaches, you know, the coach at the Ball's probably on the hot seat a little bit this year. But you have to have people in the program who have really good basketball minds, and I think Mike Broeker has one of the best in the country. And when you look at a team, you know, how good would this team be if Henry Ellenson was still on the team and hadn't gone pro early? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have things like that that will set you back. It could help you in the short term, but you know, could set you back a little bit in the long term because you may miss out on some other high-profile recruit because he doesn't want to play behind Henry Ellenson or compete with him for playing time. But you, if you get an opportunity to take a kid like that in your program, of course you want to do it. So when you factor in things like that or kids transferring for a variety of reasons, you know, it gives you a better picture. And I think if they look at the roster and they look at the age of the players and how the kids are developing that are in the program, I think that gives them a good sense of where they're at, who's in the pipeline, what are the chances – you know, a year, 2 years out with this team, and is it trending in the right way? And I get the feeling that people seem to think Marquette's trending in the right way.
Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit before we brought you on about the one and done. And I know Adam Silver kind of addressed the one and done rules, and Jerry Palm talked a little bit about college basketball in regards to that as well. So we got both different perspectives. Give me your thoughts about this whole, because every year it comes up, every year we get into the discussion, and every year the NBA is pressured more and more to say, open it up to 18-year-olds. Now, we know it's a minimal few, but give me your thoughts on all of that.
It's a mess right now. And it goes beyond the one and dones. It dips into the high school levels and the people of influence. And I don't know where all the stuff with the payoff scandal is going to go and if they're going to announce that around the tournament or not. But there's kids out there that are getting bad advice, and that kind of muddies the waters. And in a sense, you want to do something to protect the kid as much as you can from himself sometimes and try to give them a leg up on their future and say, look, stick around in college, you know, socially for a year and understand what's going on. But academically, it really doesn't help them because all they really need to do is stay eligible for the second semester. Then they can blow off their classes in the second semester. And they come away from a year in college with 12 or 15 credits and really not in any way meaningfully closer to a degree than they were before they started. Smarter minds than me, and I would put Jay Billis certainly in that group, can figure this out and come up with a solution that makes sense. And Adam Silver is certainly a sharp guy, and I hope they do, because it's good for the game to have these types of things sorted out. And every time bad examples pop up, it just leaves a black eye on the game of basketball.
The good news is I'll mention a whisper of anything improper with the Marquette program, but what are your thoughts on what's going on with college basketball right now and the impending charges that are going to come through numerous basketball programs and the Yahoo Sports article that says as many as 16 programs could end up vacating wins in the top 25 that are going to be in the NCAA tournament this year?
You know, I wrote a blog about it the other day, and I'm worried a little bit that this will end up casting a dark shadow on college basketball like SMU had when they had the death penalty because of the actions of their football program. And that didn't just impact the football program. There were people who were graduates of SMU who were good people who had nothing to do with sports, let alone football, and the negative connotations that went along with the death penalty for everybody associated with that university, it lingered for years. And I think people need to understand whatever comes down with this, whatever schools are impacted, not everybody in college basketball is crooked. In fact, a lot of people are straight and do things the right way, and I'm not just talking about coaches, I'm talking about players. And there could very well be situations where kids on a team are getting whatever the number is, $100,000 or more dollars to go to a school, and their teammates don't know anything about it, didn't want anything to do with anything like that, and had no idea that was going on. So I hope people look at it for what it is, and certainly there's some bad actors in this, but I don't want anybody to try to indict the entire game because it's not what it's about. And I think there's actually a lot of coaches who won't say anything because it's, you know, that's their job and they can't really come out and say it. But I think there's a lot of coaches looking forward to the hammer falling down on some programs because they've struggled through the industry trying to do things the right way and watched other people take the shortcuts and really have no negative repercussions because of it.
As a matter of fact, as we sit here, I don't know if you've seen it, but Sports Illustrated, ESPN, CBS, all saying the same thing, that word just broke that University of Louisville will vacate 123 wins from 2012 through 2015, including their 2013 championship, after their appeal has been denied. They must also return millions in conference revenue from the 2012 through 2015 NCAA tournaments. That is harsh.
So does Marquette get a cut of that then?
Well, it always comes back to you, doesn't it? You would like to
well,
think.
They were the Big East when they won some of those games.
Yeah,
right?
You would like to think. Yeah.
So, yeah. You'd be getting some money out of Louisville.
You would like to think, but man, that is a harsh, harsh penalty. And one of the outlets has said this is one of the, quote, dirtiest programs, end quote, we've seen in a long time. So Rick Pitino in a whole lot of trouble. Good stuff as always, Jim. We appreciate it, pal, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. There you go. Jim McElvain, color analyst for the Marquette Golden Eagles and the radio network, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Yeah, Louisville getting rid of 123 wins going back to 2012 through the 2015 seasons. That also vacates then their 2013 NCAA championship, and they must then return millions in conference revenue from the 2012 through 2015 seasons and the NCAA tournaments that they attended. So, man, that is a huge penalty. And the thing about it is, for Louisville, I don't feel one bit sorry for Louisville, because everybody knew for a long time that Pitino did the I don't want to know about it, I'm turning a blind eye to it, wink and a nod, for a long time. And they just kept bringing him back. And we kept saying, how does this guy have nine lives? And then you find out that the athletic director was all in on it. And then it really got ugly after that. But they have got an absolute positive mess down in Louisville now, and that was just breaking news. By the way, I was giving you the statistics a little earlier about NCAA draft lotteries. I've got them in front of me. I'll tell you what they are coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Time now for the Aproyo stat of the day. If you're an NBA team, you play games to win an NBA title. That's what it is you're hoping for. But when you lose games in the current NBA landscape, it's kind of the tank thing. You're trying to get the number one overall pick, right? So, here's something for you, right? In the game today, you're trying to get the overall pick, the top overall pick, to be able to build upon your team and franchise to get them deep, right? Just three times since the NBA started the lottery system back in 1985, which is a small sample size, I admit, has a player been drafted first overall and then gone on to win an NBA title or multiple titles with the team that drafted him? Think about this for a minute. Since 1985, teams that have been tanking. The Spurs did it with David Robinson in 87. 10 years later, they did it with Tim Duncan. And the Cavaliers did it with Kyrie Irving. Now, if you want to include LeBron James, remember he left, won a title with Miami, but then he came back to Cleveland as a free agent. Okay, so for the teams, people that say, well, he did it with Cleveland. Yeah, but he left, went and won one, two, as a matter of fact, with Miami. Then he came back and won one with Cleveland. In the cutthroat environment of the NBA, middling franchises stuck at number 4 through number 8 seeds in a conference are usually failures, more often than not. Only making it to the NBA finals and winning, validating a franchise, never been harder to succeed at that, which is why teams like the Sixers and the Lakers have sunk so low to stockpile numerous number ones. That's the only way you can do it in today's day and age, apparently, according to this. The stats brought to you by our good friends at AppRoyo. Implementing SAP and big data solutions on the web just like yours. Those companies are out there just like yours. And they do it for a lot of them. And they can help you as well. All you got to do is check them out, APPROYO.com. That's AppRoyo.com, where they're helping out companies just like yours with all the data that's out there, putting it through the sieve, giving it back to you, and saying, here's how you can help yourself. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.